गुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन्नूतिभिः सेदसातनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः वासुदेवेन्द्रयोगीन्द्रं नत्वा ज्ञानप्रदं गुरुं मुमुक्षूणामितार्थाय तत्त्वबोधोऽभिधीयते So up to now we've been looking, the last few sessions, at the totality, at the creation. And we've been looking both at how the creation comes into being in this general model here, how in different steps, and then also how how the individual is being created from the totality. This is part of what's been looked at. And we saw that Brahmashraya, how is it? Sattva Rajo Tamogunan Vita Maya Asti. Paraphrasing could be slightly different, but that the Maya is based on Brahman. Its substratum is Brahman, not some individual entity. Otherwise, now Brahman is limited, and Brahman can't be limited. The ultimate substratum can't be limited, so Maya, the creation, comes out of it. The cause of creation has to be dependent on Brahman, like this. As we said, that I'm speaking, I have the power to speak. I'm not saying both of us came to class today. Me, I came to class, and my speaking power came to class. And you'll say, yes, both of us came too. I came, and my hearing power came. Your hearing power depends on you. Without you, there's no hearing power. So we say it's not something separate. And we see the world, these three different aspects in and through everything. Sattva, rajas, tamas, as we said, there's intelligence, knowingness is there. There's activity, and there is solid material, which is neither jada, that is not the active and not the knowingness. So all three of these we see in and through the creation, so we say it has to come from, it has to be within the cause as well. The DNA has to be there. So we say it comes from this, and then we saw how the subtle elements were created. That was the sukshma bhuta prapancha, the creation of the subtle elements. Then we said, okay, then the subtle elementals, what is created out of them? And we saw how everything is created out of these, and each one of these five mahabhutas, five elements, we said from these, then you take the sattvic aspect of sattva, rajas, tamas throughout the whole creation, sattvic aspect of each of them, you're going to get something. So we saw the five senses are coming out of, five jnanendriyani coming out of the the sattvic aspect of the five mahabhutas. So we said from the, right, akasha, we got the hearing, from vayu, we got sparsha, touch, from fire, or tejaha here it's called, or agni elsewhere, then we got the seeing, right? Chakshu indriya. Then we said from the, what is next? Liquid, right? Then you get the tasting. And then lastly, that's from apaha, lastly from prithivi, the smell, from solid from earth to smell. Like this, it's all connected. Same we saw, panchakarmendriyani. Actually, before we go to that, the sattvic aspect, from the total sattvic aspect, we said the mind is born. Antakarana, with its four different parts. The right manaha, buddhi, citta, ahankara. Like this, the oscillating part in for getting information. The knowledge that is not totally verified yet. Anishchayatmika. Is it this, is it that? I'm thinking here, there, or emotions. This is in manaha. Then nishchayatmika, the intellect, is where I have the clear knowledge. Yes, it's like this. Yes, ascertained knowledge, the intellect. Then we said we have chittam. You need the memory. Without memory, then what? Can't function without memory. If you don't have, you're out of memory in your Gmail account, now you're stuck. You can't get an email, send an email, because you have to clear some of the memory, right? So they charge you so they'll have more memory. So without memory, how am I going to do anything? I can't function. I'm speaking. There has to be memory, so much memory involved in the language and how to use the, you know, how to use the apparatus. All this is necessary. Any functioning, thinking about things without the memory, how will the information be there? And the ahankara, we said, is part of it. The ahankara, there needs to be some identity there. Otherwise, how will there be an individual? The individual needs, this is me, ties it together. So all these, we said, come to the sattvic aspect, because sattvic aspect is the knowing aspect, the intelligence. So these came from there, and it's all the samashti, the complete part, samashti sattvikamshat of the five elements, because we get information from all the senses and the mind, all that information's in the mind. So the whole thing is in the mind this way, everything. It has to be able to interface with all, so it has to have the sattvic aspect of all. Then we saw from the rajasic aspect, same thing. Samashti, we said the pranas, the physiological functions. And each one of the five karmendriyani, organs of action, is coming from one of these, like this. So then we saw, okay, the whole subtle world now is created. We have a subtle body. We have the instrument. I have the instrument, but now I want to go and interact with the world. You need the machinery now to do something. If you remember earlier on, it said that the subtle body is the instrument I have for interacting. But this is the tool, the subtle tool, software. Now I need the hardware. I need the location to be somewhere so I can interact with the world. You can't interact with the world without having an address, without having somewhere to interact from. Otherwise, how are you going to do it? So that's needed too. So now we're going to the sthula prapancha, to the gross creation. That's what's going to be discussed. So then, we're on page 34, and that is the second verse here. Etesham panchatattvanam tamasamshat panchikrita panchatattvani bhavanti. From the tamas aspect of these five essential principles or elements, the five element made fivefold or grossified elements called elementals are formed. So you need now to create the gross elements, right? Panchikrita panchatattva. From that you have, then you can make things. You need now your physical material. So we only have the subtle world. Only subtle world. Like imagine, you know, like the world in the mind, the world in the universal mind, right? Or the world in my own mind also, that's not manifest yet. So it has to go from the subtle to the gross. Somehow it has to go. Some, obviously in the creation, it's in a, when you have the creation, prior to its manifestation, it's in potential form. Seed form, right? Karana prapancha, that's potential. Then unmanifest, then you have to have the subtle one, because can't jump from the unmanifest suddenly to gross. Needs to go through some steps. As we said, we want to do something, first there's the idea in the mind, then afterwards we're going to go and physically do it, like this. So I have the plan in my mind, then afterwards it will manifest physically. So here also universally, okay, went from the potential to the subtle, now it has to go. Now here's something very interesting. Okay, now I thought of the idea in my mind and I put energy in. Now the energy also is still subtle. But I can go to Home Depot, buy the materials and come and do the project. Or any other store if you want. I go and get the material. So the gross material is already there. My mind already thought it, and then I can go and grab it and start doing something. But here there's no gross material yet. It hasn't been created. So it has to come. Where can the gross material come? It has to come from what's already there. It can't come from somewhere else. Right? It's coming from what is already available. And what is available is the subtle elements. Sattva, rajas, tamas, subtle elements, nothing else. So somehow the gross world has to be created out of that. So here's how Tattva Bodha explains it, and based on some of the Upanishadic teachings. And that's this panchikaranam, grossification, right? Or making fivefold admixture. Panchikaranam katamiti chet. So the teacher is saying to the student, if you were to ask, what is this panchikaranam, how it happens here, I'll explain to you. Etesham panchamahabhutanam tamasam shaswarupamekamekam bhutam dvidha vibhajya ekamekamardham pritaktushnim vyavasthapya aparam aparamardham chaturdham vibhajya swardha bhinneshu anyeshu swabhaga chatushta sanyojanam panchikaranam bhavati. So here it's explaining, what is this panchikaranam? If it is asked how the process of making each element fivefold takes place, or how it's grossified, then the tamas aspect of each of the five great original elements divides into two halves. One half of each element remaining as it is undivided, one half of each element remaining as it is, meaning one half is taken, put here. The other half of each one, after it was divided, divides fourfold. The combination, the intact half of each element with the 1/8 part of the other four elements is called panchikaranam, the process of making each element fivefold. So it's saying, okay, you have the subtle elements. From the subtle elements, how are they going to become gross? The only way it has to come from the element, so how to do it? You make a mixture of them somehow, like this. And if you think of it, our gross, from science perspective, our gross elements here, it's a mixed, they're admixture, right? The admixture, because everything we have here, you know, space excluded, because space we have, science hasn't gone to it yet, but they will with time, that what happens is, okay, that you have some different things mixed together and become the gross elements. If you just have the subtle atomic principles separate, they're not going to create this. They have to somehow come together and then create the gross elements. Right? If you don't have the atom, how are you going to have all this material? So somehow a few things mixed together. So very interesting, similar idea. Take a few things, put them together, and now you have the gross. Take the subtle, mix it, and then you have the gross here. So everything here we say is an alloy, meaning we're just talking about the stula bhuta prapancha, just the base elements, not the just the building blocks. So it says, okay, how is this done? Well, you have five subtle elements, right? If, when we talked about the subtle world, when it talked about the subtle elements, it said, apanchikritani, Mahabhutani, the five great elements, before they go through gasification, the subtle ones like this. Or they're also called tanmatra. Tanmatra meaning it's the pure element in itself. Here there's nothing pure in itself because anything, any element in the physical world is an alloy. It's not something just in itself. So in the subtle world, okay, you can have the pure element, but not here. Here it's all admixture. So, okay, how will you do it? Well, take akasha. You want to have the physical space. Here's the manual how to do it. Like you have your IKEA manual. You say, you want gross space? Here's how you make gross space. Take one piece of the space, subtle space. Take that. Okay. Now, cut it in half. And then take all the other, one piece of all each of the other elements and cut in half also. So you have half. And then, okay, I keep one half of the subtle space here. Then from the other elements, each half I cut into another four parts, so 1/8. And I put, right, 12.5%, earth 12.5%, water 12.5%, fire 12.5%, air, and mix it. So it's half of it is going to be space, 1/8 portion of each of the other, put it in, now I have gross space. That's how you do it, the recipe. You want to make the air, same thing, half air. So they say, okay, so half of it is the original element, so it's predominantly that, and a mixture of 1/8 of each of the other ones. That's really what it's saying. It's just giving that recipe in a few steps to say everything here is, any element here will be an admixture of the other ones. That's how it can become gross. That's the idea it's giving. So in the whole long, complex sentence, it says, take each element, cut it in half. That's first thing. First step, take each element, second, cut in half. And keep one half of each aside on one side, keep the other half of each on the other side. So one, you just leave it. The other one, you cut further, cut into another four. So here now you have 1/8 of each, 4/8 of each on one side. Then take from each of the full halves you take and take one, one piece of each of the other and attach it. And then you get each of the elements here. That's all that it's saying. Like this whole long complicated thing explaining. In some books, they show it with a drawing. Like if you take this one, we don't have drawings. A lot of the textbooks, they'll show those steps. Here you cut them in half, here you cut another four and you can add like this. So it's not so complicated, but that's the vision it's giving here. So then now you have the gross elements. So that's how this is created. And again, that's how the creation will have to be. Some admixture from the subtle has to happen to get into the gross, because otherwise, how's it going to get grossified? Something in itself. Just like we said, Brahman, to start manifesting, it can't on its own. Just Brahman, the substratum, on its own, how is it going to manifest? There needs to be some power there because Brahman is the unconditional, unchanging. How is it going to be? Some catalyst has to be there. So here also you have the subtle elements on their own to become gross. Something has to happen. So this is the explanation given. So then it's an admixture. Everything here is an alloy. Now, once you have the base elements here, you have the Pancha Stula Mahabhutani, the five elements. Now you can mix them up and create this world. Then from a mixture of them, now you have the space here. And we have our atmosphere, so it'll be mostly air. And then you can create, right, the fire. It's going to be the heat, temperature. That'll be mostly fire. It'll be the gross fire element. Then you're going to have the water here. You'll have the earth, and then you can start making everything out of them. You make different objects, right? You make the plants, you make animals, you make humans. Everything you make out of these same base elements, like this. So tamas, because tamas then, it's going to be physical material, tamas. You need the jara, the insentient part. Okay. Actually, insentient part, the subtle is also insentient. It just here it's even further removed because here it's not even the movement, the activity, just the actual objects then. So this is saying this is now how this comes into being. Now that we've seen how it goes from subtle, whole creation comes slowly down to the gross. Now it says here, well, we just said this here, ete bhyaha panchi krita pancha mahabhute bhyaha. Sthula shariram bhavati. Sthula shariram bhavati. Which just said all the elementals from the any, you know, physical material to the physical body is created. In a lot of places when it talks about, you know, wants to talk about all the things in the world, it says from a blade of grass to the, right, to the whole Brahmanda, to the whole creation. It's all made out of this thing. So the whole physical world made out of this. Right? But then it says here, what can we draw conclusions from this? Now that we see the creations coming like this, now we want to see some conclusions. Why are we looking into this? What for? Why do we want to see this model of creation? Well, evam pinda brahmanda yoho, evam pinda brahmanda yoho, aikyam sambhutam, aikyam sambhutam. In this manner, the identity between the pinda, the microcosm, and brahmanda, the macrocosm, oh, here it's saying the microcosm and microcosm, is arrived at. So here it's saying, well, in that case, what happens is, you see that they're built the same, in a similar manner. That if you take the individual portion, the totality, they're going to have the same kind of structure. So we saw every single part of myself, from the physical body to the subtle body, each one is, has a parallel part in the totality, like this. Right? So you, each one of them, you take my physical body, it's made out of the physical elements. Right? You take my pranamaya kosha, made out of, right, the rajasic portion of the subtle elements. Manomaya vijnanamaya kosha, made out of the sattvic portion of the subtle elements. Karana sharira, it's part of the karana prapancha. The avidya, part of maya, because karana sharira, the potential body, the seed body, causal body, this one is made out of, is ignorance, and the totality of all this ignorance together is the maya. So in this way you have, everything is made out of the universal. Now there's an interesting thing in the Taittiriya Upanishad, where the Panchakosha Viveka is expounded on, which here we touched on. Here it touches on some of these subjects. Right? It gives an introduction. Then you study Taittiriya and you can study the Panchakosha Viveka in great detail. We talked about Avastataraya Viveka, studying the three states, waking, dreaming, deep sleep. The Mandukya Upanishad, studied in great detail, like this. It's given here an introduction. So what happens there, an interesting thing, when it talks about Panchakosha Viveka, one of the things it also points out in each kosha, each of the shis, it also points out that exactly here, that the microcosm, macrocosm, there isn't a difference. That the microcosm is like a wave in the macrocosm. And what is a wave? A wave isn't a material. A wave isn't an individual being. A wave in the water is, you say it's part of the ocean is the wave. Which part? That part. Which one? You take a photo of it. That part, you see? Take exactly there. Yeah, but that was just this for a split second, for a moment. But the next moment it's a different part. So which part is it? Right? It's a phenomena in the ocean. It's not a substance. Namarupa, right? It doesn't have substance. So what happens is, my physical body, I said this body is, you know, something, I see the world and this body. But it's like the wave saying there's me, the wave, and there's the ocean. You'll say, what do you mean? You are part of, there's the ocean. You're just some phenomena that's appearing, disappearing, the ocean. Ocean always there. So the physical body, that's why we remind ourselves of annamaya kosha, it's made out of food. Material comes in, material goes out. It's a wave. right? A wave within the, so it's not something separate from the totality. So that's why everything in it has to come from the totality. So it explains, yes, the material that's the totality is part, is comes as the body, is the body is a wave in it. That's it. It's not something separate from the rest. And then pranamaya kosha, my energy, also the energy. If I say mine is an individual thing, it's kind of like I'll say my house here, I have my own electricity. It's separate from the electricity of my neighbors. Right? We're all connected. Lucky we have a grid. If we were off-grid from the get-go, it would be a little more complicated to tell. Of course, it's coming solar power, wind power. It's coming from the universal power anyway. So it's the same. But here, it's easier to see. The cable's coming from the same place. Right? If the power station is down, then all of it, everywhere here is down. Right? There's a surge. It'll go everywhere. So the energy of pranamaya, it's also part of the universal one. You can't separate it, right? As though separate. And then thoughts also, I say, well, it's my thoughts. Well, where did the thoughts come from? Who fed it to you? First of all, who created your mind, right? It's mine. Did you create it? You know, things are being fed in, right? People from when I grew up, parents and family, and the society, and the school, and the teachers, all this is fed in, and the media is feeding and all this. And then it's being churned. And so it's like a wave in the universal mind. You can't separate it like this. So all of these things, they're part of universal. And deep sleep, when I'm just with karana sharira, I forget the rest. Where's the individual? We don't see an individual. So where'd the individual go? So it's part of the total. It's just pure ignorance. So this is also part of the universal. You can say the universal is maya, and all the karana sharira, maybe some part of it, if you want to say it like this. So in this case, so that's how we're saved. So from when we look at this perspective, then it's not something separate from the totality like this. Okay. So it'd be kind of like when you have the wave and you have the water, then yes, the ocean and the water and the wave is created from the ocean. It's part of the ocean. So the ocean is bringing it about. So the creator of the wave is the ocean. Substratum is this. It's the creator. Substantially, though, I want to measure the substance. I'll go somewhere where the water is calm. I'll take a cup of water. I'll go to the wave. I'll take a cup of water. Now I'm going to compare them. Is the substance of individual same as substance of totality, right? Because scientists, when scientists do it, they don't. Some of the things they do are so funny that it's just because they want to not make sure to cover every single point, right? Is the wave, water in the wave, same as water where there's not wave? They'll find conclusion, yes, it's the same thing. Of course, same thing. So it's wet. The substratum is water. Whether you call it wave, whether you call it ocean, although the wave is created from the ocean, it's the same substance. So substance to totality, substance individual, not something separate. So that's one of the things. And the more I look at that, the more it helps to loosen my, the abhimana, the identity with I am this. Because whatever I am, it's coming from totality. If the wave is very big and strong or the wave is very small, the energy beyond is the totality. So I'm not, you know, I'm something, maybe I'm not very good at something. Oh, I'm not very good. Oh, these many people are much better at this, blah, blah, blah. Well, that potential is from coming from totality. What has to do with that's, it's coming from the ocean, from the totality. Whatever comes to me, because the God put it there, that's the God's business, not mine. I'm very good at something that's more dangerous. I'm very good. I'm very successful. I know this well. Well, that also, where that potential came from? From somewhere else. That'll also go. Both of those waves, after a little while, are going to disappear. The big wave will disappear pretty soon. Small wave will disappear very soon. The identity with it will cause the pain and suffering like that. That's all. The identity, not what? The essence itself. So everything's coming from that same source. So only the ego, I'm this much or I'm that much, that's just an identity whether it's factual or not, because again, I'm not very smart in this field, I can't do too much. Oh, I'm somebody else very great in this field. Okay. It's like two waves making a lot of noise like that. So this finishes discussing the creation itself, right? The creation itself, how it comes into being. And again, it's a model of creation where in Vedanta, not very strict about every little detail and about different models that are used, because it's to explain a phenomena in order for us to, now it gets to the more important part, why we were looking into this, why this whole thing, we bothered to look into the totality like this, because it's for vichara, for understanding what's behind these things, right? Because look, when we looked at individual, we were looking in order to see that you as the Atma, it's not the panchakoshas, not the three bodies, not the experiences, meaning the three states, waking, dreaming, sleeping, all these things. Not those, right? Meaning that what we're looking at is something else, viveka. So here also, the whole creation in this, okay, look out for viveka also. And also, very important point, which when somebody tells a story to kids, they say, okay, there was a king, and the king had two sons, one that was never born and one that didn't have a head. And the one that was never born, you know, was jealous of the one that doesn't have a head because he was more strong. And then this one got this part of the kingdom, that got that part of the kingdom, like this, goes on and on and on. They lived in the kingdom in the sky. And all this stuff goes on, and the whole kid gets all caught up in it, right? Where did this whole story come from? From the kings, from the storyteller's imagination, because the kids are running around making noise, it's time for them to go to sleep. So some story was made up for something just for that, right? But their imagination will say, yes, that one didn't have a head, but he was the stronger one. Yes, this one was never born, all this. So where did all this come from? Brahman plus Maya. This Brahman, Maya is a potential Brahman. So meaning then, once the five elements are coming out of it, what is it? Oh, it's Brahman with some imagined attributes. Some attributes somehow are added to this unchanging infinite. And from there, because it now has these attributes, it can become these five senses, it can become the mind, this. And then if it gets mixed together, it can become this gross material and this gross material world and this. And then the gross material world, so physical things can be there, intelligent. Well, what is the whole substance of it? Oh yeah, it's Brahman. Yes, everything came from Brahman, and now I wish I can go back to Brahman. You want to go back to Brahman? It's like the wave saying it wants to go back to the water. So that's the thing, is we have to remember the whole creation coming from Brahman. Every step of the way, it's Brahman. That's why they say the God is in and through everything. If the God is in and through everything, and there is something other than the God, it's not in through everything, there has to be some gap there, right? Some gap, so the God isn't everywhere. So this is why it says, look, this whole thing is showing everything came step by step, but don't forget what was there throughout all the steps. All the steps was same universal consciousness presence was there the whole time. That's the important thing. So now it starts discussing, okay, all this structure was given. Now let's see how through this structure we see this Aikyam, this oneness. Because that's the important thing. The structure is there for us to use to see this oneness. Okay, so let's see as it continues here. Sthula sharira bhimani jivatmakam. Sthula sharira bhimani jivatmakam. Brahma pratibimbam bhavati. Brahma pratibimbam bhavati. Sa eva jivaha. Prakritya swasmadishwaram. Bhinnatvena janati. Sa eva jiva prakritya swasmadishwaram bhinnatvena janati. The one who is identified with the gross body, called the jiva, is but the reflection of Brahman. The jiva alone by nature knows, thinks the Lord to be different from himself or herself. Okay? Thinks. So what happens then is, stula sharira abhimani, one who identifies with the physical body. The moment I identify with the physical body, then I am separate from the rest. I'm the wave that thinks that I am something separate from the ocean. This is what happens. I identify with this. So once I identify with that, then I'm separate from the rest. Then if I'm separate from the world, how am I not the same as God? I'm separate from the God as well. Right? We just showed how the God is in and through the creation. The God is in and through everything. That's what we were seeing there before. Now it's saying, okay, but if I identify with this, I think I'm separate. You know, we accept that God is everywhere, but it stops at the perimeter of my body. It stops at, you know, at the, we have a firewall in the mind, stops with the outside, thoughts outside, okay, but the moment it comes into the mind, no, it's not there. Like there's some idea like this. You know, like the country with the borders. The countries have borders. They say, this is the border. It's just an idea that this is the border. What do you mean? From Earth's perspective, what is it? That's what my guru, he used to, he'd said, look, the birds just fly across. Do they need a visa? They need a ticket to come? No. We all should all just be able to go. So he'd go, he learned how to fly. We'd go on peace missions, just fly across the borders, all the trouble places you fly across, say, you know, look, we're free, you know, we should, like the bird, we're just one. We're just voice of the earth is one, we're one people. And then he would go everywhere, and he had a passport that was said Planet Earth Passport. And we'd just go. And he said every country, everywhere he went, he managed to get in only one country. I think it was France or somebody, somewhere didn't let him in. He's gone all over places like this just to show. And they just, people, they'd say, oh, this is some crazy person doing this. He said, yeah. He said, united we'll live, divided we're going to fall. That's if the earth is going to go like this, which we see. The division is what causes the problems. So like this. So we, these separation, he'd say the physical separation, that's just in our mind. The deeper thing, all separation is in the mind. But if that's how it manifests, is we start separating. We'll separate by, you know. Of course, once I'm separate from everything else, then I'm separate, then I feel insecure. So I need to make other separations. My house and my city, my country, my people, right? Like this. So this is what happens. But in any case, so that happens. I identify with the physical body. And what happens? What is it? This is a jivatmakam. This is, and that some identity is needed. That ahankara, we said, this is needed because otherwise, the individual can't function, right? Yes, so some identity is needed. But the thing is, that identity is taking it as, we take it as something solid, absolute. It's kind of like, you need the red light and green light system. You need the right and left hand side on the street system, right? You need some system like this for things to, for the vyavahara, for the worldly interaction to work out smoothly. You need that. But that's a convention. It's something for the worldly thing to function. It's not, but it's not, shouldn't be something that's the identity. We take it as the identity instead of just something for functionality. Like this. Yeah, ego's needed. I'm this person. Here's my date of birth so that when I go to doctor, they can see so that, you know, so that there's some information there. Yes, this is address. Yeah, this is my house. Yes, because I need some place to stay. You know, okay, I have to move somewhere else. Okay, that's not my place anymore. Okay, somewhere I'll sleep somewhere else, like this. But the thing is, I build the identity more and more of that. That's what happens. And then, but what pratibimba? It's Brahma pratibimbam. What is really in living it, the consciousness. Without the consciousness, we'll tell somebody, okay, you know what? Everything you dreamed of, you can have. Have whatever, live where you want, have whatever power you want, whatever ability you want, do whatever you want, except one thing. You don't have the consciousness. We take away the consciousness, but everything else you can have. The person, of course, will say, you're crazy? Then how am I going to enjoy experience it? What good is it? So the consciousness is the base, the main thing. And that's why we're looking into. That's what Atmavichara is. What is this consciousness? What do I mean by that? I'm a conscious being. So what is that essential thing? That's all Vedanta is. We're always running after all the other things, but this base thing we forget. Okay, so then we say, okay, very good. So what is the consciousness principle? Okay, well, it's the reflection. Brahma pratibimbam, the reflection of consciousness. We have a mind, which is a very subtle material, and so the consciousness is reflected in it. Because the mind itself is jadam, antakarana jadam, remember, it's insentient. But the consciousness reflected in it so that it picks up the consciousness very much, just like the mirror reflects you, so it looks very much like you. So it seems you're there, so the mind seems to be conscious, like this. The example we give, if I have the wall here and the light is shining on it, you don't see, you see the wall, but you don't really see the light directly reflected. But if I put a mirror, you see the light. Let's say the sunlight, you'll see the sun directly reflected there. So it's not the sun, it's just reflecting the sun. So the mind is a subtle material that the consciousness is clearly reflected there. Because sattva, it's pure like this, right? Rajas, it's not reflected, tamas, not reflected. And then because the mind comes, has, you know, conscious now, has borrowed, we call it borrowed consciousness, the reflected consciousness is borrowed, then we say, okay, if it's there, now the body says, hey, you know, I see you have some consciousness, please lend me some too. Like two poor friends, one of them borrows money from one of their other friends. Now his friend says, please lend me some too so I can also enjoy. So the mind lends consciousness to the body too. Now the body also feels conscious because it's extension of the mind. So now the body has. So then I identify with this body-mind complex. But what is really behind it, I'm dealing with the reflection. Right? Swami Tattavidananji likes to say this is, we identify with the shadow self. Right? Chichaya, called in other places, chaya can be reflection, it can also mean shade. It's like it's just your shadow. You're not looking at the original you, but at the shadow, and identify with that. Because the shadow, it depends, the reflection of shadow depends on the original. Without it needs an original, it needs something to reflect it when it's the reflection. So the mind and the original be reflected there. When we talked about when we did the inquiry about the individual, we talked about, hey, look, something there isn't changing all the time. What isn't changing has to be the substance, because all the changes, they come and go. So what is not changing, that's the substance. So you're seeing the reflection, and then you're identifying with the changes in the reflection instead of who are you behind all these changes, like this. So the changes are in the reflecting media, not in the one who is being reflected, like this. The rajasic part is movement, so that there's movement in the mind. So I'm acting, I'm doing in this. I'm aware of the acting and movement, right? And the tamasic part, like this, I'm tired, I'm asleep in this, right? Then these things, well, that's like murkiness in the water. So the reflection doesn't get as clear, isn't as clear, but the original reflected is the same. And if you remember, we said when the reflecting medium goes away, the consciousness is still there. And we talked about the 5 points of consciousness. So when the body goes away, the consciousness is still there. So deep sleep, it's all gone. I wake up, I was there the whole time. I was still there. So in this way. So saha eva jivaha prakritya swasmat ishwaram bhinnatvena janati. So this way, due to this, the jiva by nature thinks himself or herself to be separate from Ishwara, from the totality. Ishwara hasn't been talked about yet, but it'll talk about Ishwara now. So now we'll go into Ishwara. So from the God, from the Brahman, we'll say for now. Now, prakritya, naturally. So it's not an obvious, it's not like that a mistake that is, a very silly mistake, that how could I not see it? It's a natural mistake. Naturally it happens, because just like dream, you ask anybody, oh, in the dream, did you know it was a dream? Oh, there were a few instances maybe, but no, dream usually, no, I don't know it's a dream. I forget myself. I identify with the dream. So it's a mistake that happens to everybody. So here also, it's natural to make that mistake. It's not like, that's just what happens, how it works. But then, okay, but still that means we need to look into it. Just because it's a thing that is universal, universally the mistake is done, doesn't mean that I don't want to go and fix it. I want to find out, because, and it'll explain. We've looked into that circle, the samsara circle we talk about. It'll explain why we need this, because otherwise, we don't want to continue running around suffering like this. We're going to want to rectify for ourselves. And I want to look into. It's not for rectifying the world in this. First, let me fix myself. Let me understand myself. This is the important thing. Like that. Swami Ram Sarupananji, who I spend a lot of time with, he would say like this. He'd say, somebody who isn't really happy, really happy, you have to know yourself to be really happy, otherwise you're conditionally happy for a little while. Really happy, they can't really make others happy. He says, just like if you are stuck in the water, you're sinking down in the well, and you want to give the hand to the person to pull them out, but you're not on solid ground. Two people are going to get stuck in the well. You're going to fall in as well. So you don't have that happiness, that natural happiness that you know yourself. And you help somebody else with that, you'll get pulled down too. And both of you will be stuck in the well like this. So you've defined the Atma. Then no problem. Then you can talk differently like this. So this is what's said. Okay, that is the mistake I'm making. And that mistake then I'm looking into. That it seems very clearly that I am separate. It seems obvious that I'm separate from everything else. That whatever God, whatever's behind everything in me, it can't be the same thing. It seems like that. Right? It doesn't seem obvious. But the thing is, whatever appearances are, this is Adiguru Shankara's, one of his principles, however something appears, that's not its nature. That's not really what it is. The moment it appears, meaning that can't be the actual thing, because it's going through senses and mind, meaning that you're seeing some image of it, not the actual thing, like that. So it's just because it appears that I'm separate, that doesn't mean the thing. And then some people argue, well, then how come, if we're all one, when I'm happy and you're sad, how come I don't experience your sadness, you don't experience my happiness? We'll say, well, I have two mirrors here. One of them has a very murky and unclear image. The other one has a very clear image. The sun is shining on them. Why are they not reflecting the same? The same sun is reflecting in both. So you're talking about the upadhi, not about the original. So of course, the reflection will be different, but what is reflected is the same. This is the important thing, like that. So let's see here how here explains about these points. Avidyopadihi sannatma jivaha, sannatma jivaha ityuchyate. Ityuchyate mayopadhisan atmeshwara ityuchyate, atmeshwara ityuchyate. So, Atma, being one endowed with the limiting adjunct of avidya or ignorance, is called jiva, the individual. Atma, being the one endowed with the limiting adjunct of maya, is called Ishvara, or the Lord, the God, like this. So what is the difference between the two? We said, okay, the jiva thinks he or her is as separate from Ishvara. So what is Jiva, what is Ishvara looking at here, like this? What are these two? And here's a very interesting point, which Adi Guru Shankara in his commentaries, a lot of times, Ishvara and Brahman, he uses them interchangeably. Although Ishvara Brahman, usually we technically have slight distinction, which is being discussed here. But then Atma and Brahman, also interchangeably, because here said Brahma Pratibimbam, and now said Atma here, both for the individual totality. Because usually, technically, we say the consciousness. There's one universal consciousness. When we look at it from the individual perspective, we say Atma. When we look from universal perspective, we say Brahman. Usually like this. But in order to, very clearly, we're just discussing not to say as these as two separate things, uses Brahman, Atma, interchangeably, because here it says Atma reflecting totality is Ishvara. To make clear, look, we're not talking about two different things. Like this. So in any case, so avidya upadhi, you remember upadhi we talked about, if you have two things that are in proximity, and one of them seems to limit the other one, seeming to limit means seeming to impart its qualities on the other one, that becomes an upadhi for the other one. Seemingly limits it, seemingly gives it some qualities. Like a very good example it's given is the blueness of the sky. The sky looks like a dome, makes the space look like a dome, a blue dome, right? There was one movie 10, 15 years ago, I don't remember its name, where the person is living in there and really the whole thing, his whole life is like a set, like a movie set, and there's a real dome of the sky. So eventually at the end he reaches the dome there and he breaks out to leave in this. So it looks like there's a dome like this, but we know there's no dome. But it looks like, so it's an upadhi, the appearance there seems to give a quality of a shape and a color to the sky. Sky, space, that's why in Sanskrit, sky and space, we don't see a difference. A lot of times I hear from some teacher, like Premanand Uttarkashi, he just says sky meaning space. Where we have to, in my mind, I translate because I'm used to saying in English, we used like to separate them like this. But in any case, so it's just space. So seems to, so the upadhi seems to. So what is the upadhi? We, of course, we have a few layers, but he says, what is the root upadhi? Avidya. That is the root upadhi for the individual, because what is avidya? It's karana sharira, the cause for the other shariras. So saying, no, he said it's stula sharira abhimani. If you're stula sharira abhimani, means you're also sukshma sharira abhimani, because you're also identifying with your energy mind. Meaning you're also karana sharira abhimani, you're identifying as the ignorance that I'm not these. So then, you know, you identify with physical, meaning you're identifying all three. Oh, I don't identify with the individual, but I have my karma and I was born last life in a different body, other life, this next life I hope I'll be other body, other place. Okay, so you're identifying two shariras, right? You manage to disidentify one. But in this case, that's why I'm talking about avidya. So avidya is the upadhi, and in the deep sleep, we identify pure avidya, we've dropped the other two koshas. That's the individual is, that's the base. Avidya, if this ignorance of myself isn't there, then I don't see myself as this individual because I understand that I'm not this limited individual. So that's the base of it. The twilight that I couldn't see the rope clearly, right? Like this. But then Maya Upadhi is Maya Upadhi San, that which is has the Maya universal. The universal ignorance, if you want, this is Ishvara, right? Now, there's a difference here. There's a difference between Maya and Avidya. Avidya, if you remember, when we talked about the Karana Sharira, or Anandamaya Kosha more specifically, it said it's made out of Malina Sattva, Salit Sattva. And the reason we said it's it's sattva meaning tamas and sattva, like this mix. Because first of all, deep sleep, when you only identify karana sharira, you're ignorant, pure ignorance. Because you say, I slept well, I knew nothing. Knowing nothing meaning tama, meaning that's tamas. Ignorance is tamas. So it's tamas. But I say, and it was so wonderful, oh, I enjoyed so much. So that joy is sattva. So it's sattva and tamas, like this. So that's why the individual then is, this base upadhi is going to be malina sattva. Mal and so the be, so the tamas is going to be mixed, like this. But then maya is going to be, we call sattva pradhana, it's going to be mostly, maybe tamo pradhana, it's mostly the ignorance covering. Because you don't see the rope well, it's mostly ignorance. You have to have enough ignorance so you don't see the rope clearly. So, but with maya, it's going to be sattva pradhana, it's going to be majorly sattva. So otherwise, if it was similar enough to our karana sharira, then Ishvara would also be a samsari. Ishvara would also have ignorance. How could Ishvara have ignorance? The all-knowing this, creating the world, whole creation coming from that. In and through, behind everything. Now suddenly you say that ignorance. Then how could the jnana even be imparted further down? The original has to have jnanam, otherwise how can it even be imparted anywhere? Original guru has to have jnanam, otherwise how would we pass down? It would be andha parampara all the way. Andha parampara, the lineage of blind people. One blind leading the blind forever, like this. So it has to come. So in this way it says, no, it can't be. The original, there, it can't be. So it has to be. And the thing is also, we can't say Ishvara really has an upadhi from our perspective, we'll say. From our perspective, we'll say, okay, if Ishvara has upadhi, the whole creation is the upadhi. Okay. But we can't really say. It's like if I wake up from my dream, I remember the whole dream. Yes, I was, you know, I can remember the whole dream, but I'm not bound by it. So you can't say if Ishvara is bound, it's not Ishvara, like this. And that's what Ishvara is, the reflection of the totality, right, in this way. So this is the difference it's saying. If you take the consciousness, Atma or Brahman, you add avidya to it, malina sattva, then what the result is you get jiva. Right? And the jiva says, oh, I'm limited, I'm suffering, what's going to happen to me, etc. You take the same one, you add maya to it, the sattva pradhana, like this covering, then you get Ishvara. Because then, yes, reflecting totality. You in the dream world as the individual, you forgot everything, you identified as some small little individual. Now you're a jiva in the dream. When you notice it was a dream, the moment you notice it was a dream, you're now the Ishvara of the dream because you see you're the one behind the whole dream. You're the same one, aren't you? The individual in the dream. And later when you say, I dreamt that, I is the same, the upadhi is different, the upadhi of the individual in the dream, and the one behind the whole dream, same one. Difference is upadhi identifies that character in the dream, identifies the one behind the whole dream world, right? When you're looking at the dream, you're looking from different angles, different identities, upadhis. Like this. Isn't that interesting? So from the dream world, we see the same identity can be behind the individual and the totality. So this is again, we pointed out that we use the three states, waking, dreaming, deep sleep, in our vichara, when we look at the individual, because they're so valuable, you know, to really understand who I am. I have to look at the range of experiences and they help. Because look at how the dream world helps so much like that. It shows the same way Jiveshwara Aikyam, the oneness of individual and totality. It shows that because it exactly shows, okay, The one who is the individual, one who is behind the totality, is this can be the same. Right? Dream world, I forgot it. When I wake up and I know it's a dream, I remember, and I'm that same one that's behind both. Right? Very interesting. Like that. So how that shows, same thing is happening here. You're saying, no. Here it's the waking world. Here's objective world. How can it be that me, small me behind this, caught up in all this situation, my life behind all these things, is the same as the one behind the totality? Well, imagine our time comes, we die now, we drop this body, we've dropped this identity. Now I think of the whole world, we're totally dropping the identity. Am I limited by anything then, when I totally drop it? No. Like in the dream, I'm not, then I look, the whole world there, what was it? So this is where it's pointing out the difference then is upadhi. Not, that's the only difference between the two, not something different, okay? Like this. We'll go into more of it next time instead of starting to bring up other things now. But again, so the difference, the impure maya, and, more the impurity, that's what makes it seem more limited. But the same thing is reflected in both. It's the same one reflected, it's just the reflecting medium is different. That's the only difference between them. So that doesn't mean, that doesn't make that I'm Ishvara, the creator of everything this. No, that's an upadhi. The all-knowingness, all-powerful, all this, that's the upadhi, limited. It's like you have the sun reflected in a dewdrop, so tiny, barely see one dot. And the sun reflected in huge surface, you go to a solar farm, huge solar farm, miles around, and you see huge reflection of the sun from the International Space Station last time you went there. Hopefully you don't get stuck there for 9 months. But there was a ride back for those people, fortunate for them. And you see a huge reflection, right? Same one is reflected, just the upadhi was different. Like this, that's what it's pointing out, like this. But I identify with the upadhi, with the reflection. That's the problem, like this. And it's prakritya, it's said by nature, so it's a deeply ingrained habit. And deeply ingrained habit, so it takes a little bit more to overcome it. Because a habit that's something small, overcoming it easy. But more deeply ingrained takes a little bit more to look into. It's not that we can't overcome a more deeply ingrained habit, but it takes more to look into to understand. That's all. That's the only difference. But it's something that, if I look into it, I can also overcome that. So let's look and continue looking into that aikyam that it's talking about next week to help overcome this habit. That's what we're doing in Vedanta. Once we overcome that, then don't drop it. Then nothing more to do. There's one time in Rishikesh. Some Tamil guru came to see Swami Sivananji. Swami Sivananda is also Tamil. And he was very doubtful about Vedanta, Advaita. He was a dualist. And so he came and he wanted to ask Swami Sivananji and understand in this. And what happens, many people that would come see Swami Sivananda, I've heard a few people exactly saying this thing, that they came and saw and they were just in awe. They couldn't believe somebody like this could exist. And so he was at awe with Swami Sivananda, and he asked him, okay, so once you know, if you know that you're Advaita, you know you're Atma, then what do you do? So in those who know Tamil probably know how you say this, I don't know, but he said, so then you eat your curd and pickle and relax. Your curd, right? Maybe it was curd, rice and pickle. Because there's nothing else to do. It's not that I'll do something, like this. You just, the habit is dropped. Okay, like this. So that's all Vedanta, to have that understanding, which we're doing some vichara, some inquiry to help us to look into it. Om Pur Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Any questions before we finish for today?
Oh,
yeah, you in Arizona, you guys are the smart ones. You don't have any daylight savings, yeah.
I take everything, and moreover, I was in California a few weeks also. So anyway, that's the reason why I could not attend this thing, but I'd be the same thing happened. So I'll be attending from next
week. Okay, no problem. The recordings are there, so then you can always hear them. And hopefully this week our website's supposed to be back up, so you can go to the recording folder. I'll let you know when it's there. Just the hackers destroyed the thing, so somebody else that made it is helping to bring the backup and everything.
Yeah. Okay.
Good. Okay, so no questions, then we'll be finished for today. So have a wonderful week. Let's continue next time. Om.